Welcome to the Laura Mayer Podcast. This is a podcast all about learning how to walk in the mental, emotional, and relational freedom that Jesus provided for you. And I'm so happy that you're joining me today. I love spending this time on the podcast with you. I wish I could see your face, but I can't. But I love that you let me into a little part of your life, and I really, really appreciate it and value it, and thank you so, so much. With that being said, if this podcast is a blessing to you, I would love it if you would hit the subscribe button, the follow button, whatever it looks like and says in your podcast listening app. And also, if you've got the time to leave me a review, maybe even a 5-star. I don't know. I think it'd be a great idea. What this does is it helps the algorithms push my podcast higher up where more people can see it. So algorithms are simply the robots in the universe that notice what people are paying attention to and what they're liking and sharing and all the things. And it raises it up and puts it in front of more viewers because or listeners because they say, oh, it's helping this many or this many people are enjoying it. I bet more people will as well. And what that does is that is you helping me help more people, because that is truly my heart and my passion. Is I love teaching people how to walk in freedom. I love helping people identify the roots to issues in their lives, because where there's a root, or where there as almost I reverse that, where there's a fruit, there's a root. So if there's a fruit of something going on in your life, a struggle, something like that, I think the Lord loves to help pull things back to the root, uncover it, so that we can process that with Him and we can walk free from that thing that was weighing us down. Also, along those lines of discussing fruits and roots, you may have heard me advertise it last week on the podcast, but I am once again offering the mental health coaching appointments that I kind of did as a practice run back in June. And what these are 45-minute online calls with me. I do them here from my home. You can do them in the comfort of your car. Some people do their appointments in their car, on their lunch break, at home, wherever it is, just on the go. You don't have to drive and go somewhere for an actual appointment. And what do we do for mental health coaching appointments? Okay, this is a time when you get to, maybe you've always, you know, you've listened to the podcast and thought, gosh, I'd love just to sit down with Laura for a few minutes and explain the situation going on in my life, or this struggle, this pattern that just keeps happening over and over and over and over, this relationship dynamic that I can't quite figure out, or I've got constantly these feelings of a lack of self-worth and this hopelessness, or I don't know, whatever it may be. Maybe you know there's a past that you have a past of a lot of trauma and different things, and you're curious, how is that affecting your ability to do relationships well now? And it's affecting your emotional health and affecting your mental health and even affecting your relationship with God. That's the kind of stuff we talk about in these spaces. It's 100% confidential. If this sounds something or like something that would be interesting to you, simply go to the show notes of this podcast episode. There'll be a link that you can click on. It takes you to my calendar where you can book an appointment. And also, I've got it in my link tree on my social media if you are following me either on Facebook or Instagram. All right, let's dive into today's topic. Today, we're going to talk about curating friendships. Okay, let's define that word curate. That may be something you use in your everyday language, or it may not be. So the word curate simply means to organize, to select, to arrange for a purpose. I think about like maybe a museum curator. A museum curator would be someone who it's his or her responsibility to choose the artwork, to arrange the displays, to carefully select the pieces that are going to be on display for people to come in and view. And maybe they have a certain goal in mind. Maybe they're focusing on highlighting artwork from a certain century or a certain artist or a certain mood or a certain season. But each of these pieces are intentional, and the curator gets to choose what fits and what doesn't. You know, it's interesting. There's a lot of artwork that doesn't make it into certain museum exhibits. Maybe it's because it's not available for that museum. Maybe it's already being used in another museum. Or maybe it's amazing, it's by an amazing artist, but it just doesn't fit with the theme of that museum. I feel like our friendships and our lives are a whole lot like this. And you guys, I used to not view friendship this way at all. And we're going to get into that in just a minute or two. But I think it's important that you remind yourself of the things that you were taught growing up and, you know, about how you will become like the five people that you hang around with the most. That's true for children, but that's true for adults. I think that's even true now, living in this super hyper connected world and, you know, podcasts that you listen to, YouTube people that you subscribe to. We're bringing people into our circles that used to a couple of, you know, even just a generation ago, or even for many of us listening, social media, like, wasn't even around at all. And so the idea of someone being in your circle who you've never even met in real life wouldn't have even made sense. But now that's just so normal. So these are the people that are influencing you, are speaking into your life, and are either adding to you or draining from you. So when I started thinking about the shift and the change that I've made in how I view friendships, how I curate friendships in my life now versus when I was younger, I started thinking about the way many of us were raised to view friendships when we were younger. You know, when you're young, you're in elementary school, there's a lot of emphasis put on, you know, be friends with everybody, include everybody. Never leave anybody out. You know, if you're a good kid, if you're a kind kid, you're not going to leave people out. And I don't think that's a bad thing to teach kids. I really don't. I think it is one side of the coin that's very, very necessary because, you know, the thing with kids is often they exclude others for the wrong reasons. Not because that person needs to be excluded because they're dangerous or harmful or a bad influence or any of those things, but because they're different. Because they look different, they sound different, they're maybe they don't wear the same brand clothing, you know, all these little petty things that shouldn't matter. And kids can just be horribly, horribly mean. So I am definitely pro teaching our children to not exclude and isolate and shun people and leave them out. But I'm also very pro teaching children how to pay attention to the influences they allow in their inner circle. It's never an excuse to be mean to people, but it is a reason to curate friendships. So, growing up, viewing friendships a lot or like that, hearing, you know, that messaging, and that's my natural bent and tendency also to be very compassionate and not want to exclude people. But also as a people pleaser, I heard kind of a more extreme version of that. So if you've ever like heard something, but your brain took it to an extreme that the person teaching it was not meaning it at that extreme. So as a people pleaser though, I would hear things like this, and for me, it sounded like that I was supposed to give a piece of myself to everyone. That anybody that wanted my time, wanted my attention, wanted my snacks, wanted my anything, that it was bad or even unchristlike to not comply. So I hope hearing that is raising some red flags in you, and I'm hoping you're hearing that and going, oh, sounds like you didn't have any boundaries to go with all this. So boundaries are just the guardrails on the road that keep you out of the ditch. So when I was explaining just a second ago that have you ever heard something and took it way far to an extreme, I think sometimes there's good teaching on the road, but based on your individual upbringing, trauma, background, all the stuff, you're prone to taking something and driving it into a ditch and being in an extreme one direction or the other. Both extremes are in the ditch. Both extremes are not on the road. Both extremes get you nowhere. They get you a wrecked vehicle. So in thinking about friendships like that, I realized that many of us never make the transition when we get into adulthood. And we have a lot of that same feeling of, I should be friendly to everybody. I should be friends with everyone. I should give everybody just as much access to me. But, and you know this is you, if when certain people show up on your caller ID, when it's a text from somebody, and your stomach sinks, you're like, oh no, them. But you pick up anyway, because it would be rude not to, is what you think. So you pick up anyway. And part of why you dread that conversation is because you know that whatever it is they're about to ask you, you're not going to have any power to say no. They will guilt you into saying yes to everything under the sun. Or that when you pick up, it's going to be nonstop drama that they've, you know, are pouring into your ear. Or it's going to be such a one-sided conversation that they're going to spend the whole time talking about themselves. And the moment you try to interject maybe something cool that happened in your week, they're going to take it, turn it on themselves, and explain how that happened. That exact same thing happened to them. And so you feel unheard. You don't feel like you've got space there to be a person. But yet, you feel like they're supposed to be your friend. So today, I want to bring you some freedom in this area. I know it's a very practical topic. It's not going to be a lot of scripture and verse, but there's a biblical principle here of guarding your heart, counting the cost, and you being actively engaged in self-control and not letting other people control all the stuff that you do. So if we take this mindset into adulthood, it really causes a whole lot of problems, and we end up being friends with people who drain us, who are always needing more, or making really bad decisions themselves. And so people might assume that we do the same thing, you know, because we just get caught up in it. So I wanted to share with you just a few things that that the Lord has taught me through the years about friendships. And let me just go ahead and say, as I was making this list, I had an epiphany. I have always thought, until just earlier today, that I was not a very good friend. Because here's why. I was never good at keeping up, especially once I got into adulthood, at keeping up with everybody and remembering to call everybody all the time and check in with everybody all the time and spend time with everybody all the time. The people that wanted to spend time, and maybe they had the bandwidth and the time to spend, and maybe I do and did really love them and all the things, but I just couldn't make it work. And so I would always turn on myself and assume there was something very, very wrong with me, that why could I not give more? And until earlier today, it's like the Lord brought that thought back around to me to now evaluate that same thought, same lie that I've been believing about myself, to evaluate it by the five things that I'm about to share with you, these five principles of curating friendship. And when I evaluated that phrase, that line that I tell myself that I'm not a good friend, by these new standards, I realized, actually, yes, I am. Because I've also learned to be a good friend to myself and to learn where my own limits are, and not feel like I'm supposed to be a bottomless supply for people around me. Only Jesus can be that for people. So, the first thing I want to share is, before we get into these six, is there are no shoulds attached to these friendships. There is no assumptions that the people that you curate and gather to be your circle of friends have to include people that are related to you. All right? Sometimes that's not in anybody's best interest. Just because there's blood relation does not mean they are people that your heart is safe with. There's not a requirement that because you were super close at a season in your life that you have to be close now, or that you won't be close in the future. There are seasons to life. Goodness. It also means that I'm not putting these boundaries or these, I guess this list, it doesn't only apply to people you see on a regular basis. Some of my dearest friends, that are in my core circle are people that do not even live in the same state with me. But they are people that when I pick right back up with them, there is safety there. There's the ability to be myself. There's challenge in the word of God there. And they're my people. Even though I don't get to talk to them very often. So don't feel like this list only applies to people that you see on a super regular basis or talk to all the time, or they comment on your social media or all of that. There's a place for those kinds of friendships too. But okay, so without further ado, these are, I didn't even realize y'all that I would have five of these. I didn't. I only had like two at first. And I started thinking, what are the core principles the Lord's taught me about friendship over the years? And I have five. And you know what? I might just have more. I have five written down, but I have more. We'll just see. Okay, so the first one is the onion theory. I don't know if I got this from somebody else. I don't know if I made it up in my own head. I don't know. I've just been talking about the onion theory to my kids forever and ever and ever, and I use it as an example all the time. And I say, your heart is like an onion. If you've ever cut an onion in half, you can see that it has a core, and then it has a ring after that, and another ring, and another ring, and they move from the inside out. So your heart is the core of the onion. It's a smaller space. Not as much fits there. So how this connects with friendship, not everybody can be or should be. You're not wrong by not having everybody in the core of your onion, in the core of your heart, your closest friend, the one that you should share your most intimate details of your life with. It would be inappropriate for everyone to get the same space. And we're going to talk about that with the next point. But you get to choose who is in your inner circle. You know, I think about Jesus and how he had his core friends. He had three, Peter, James, and John. And then outside of that, he had the rest of the 12 disciples. Now, he loved them all. But you see in the word more interaction with Peter, James, and then especially John. You know, Jesus was all human and all God. And so the human part of him needed friendship. It is not a flaw for you to need friendship. Even your Savior did. But he was selective on who got to come certain places with him, who got to have certain interactions with him, and who had certain access. So he had his three core, then he had the remaining 12. And then there were people outside of that. The Bible references more disciples, more than just those 12. But you just don't see their names and stuff a lot. So that means they didn't have as much access to Jesus probably, and maybe didn't get to spend as much time with him, but they were still part of his community, part of his followers, part of the people that would have been around. People get to move in and out of the rings of the onion. And they do that by doing point number two. And this is the concept of understanding access versus responsibility. I learned this first listening to Lisa Turkhurst. I watched a Instagram video of hers, but I believe she covers this topic in detail in one of her most recent books called Good Boundaries and Goodbyes. And actually, I'll see if I can link that in the show notes as well, but it's on Amazon. So she explains that in order to have a balanced relationship between two people, you have to have two things balanced. The amount of access that you're giving to them with the amount of responsibility and trust that they're bringing to you. If you are giving level 10 access to someone, access to your heart, your emotions, your dreams, your finances even, your time, your whatever it may be. But, you know, they're wanting level 10 access, no restrictions, besties. But they're only showing like a level 3 level of responsibility with your heart, your time, your boundaries, your finances, your emotions, all the things. Well, then there is dysfunction because there's a big gap between a 10 and a 3. So you have an option here. You have two options, actually. Either you can lower your level of access down to match what they're doing. This is not unkind. This is you guarding your heart. And if they are upset about it, well, of course, they love being able to put in just a little bit of investment to get a whole lot of return. All you're doing is holding them to the same standard you hold yourself. That is all you're doing. So you're not making them come up. They can choose to come up a level. You can have a conversation with them. Maybe you're still at that level 10 and you have a conversation and say, hey, I really want to be all in this relationship, but it feels like I'm at a 10 and it feels like you're only given a 3 in the level that I can count on you to show up, to be present, for my heart to be safe with you, for respect, boundaries, and just how you speak to me or whatever the thing may be. And so I feel like there is a big gap here. And so I'm sharing my heart with you and saying, you know, this needs to change. I'm not willing to operate like this anymore. And so the good thing that can come from this is they can go, oh my goodness, you know what? You're right. And I didn't realize I was doing that. I'm going to work on that. Let me show you, or, you know, what do you need to see from me? And then before you, don't just believe what they say, believe what they do. Okay. All right. So if they're able to come up in their level of responsibility, let's say they're able to move up to like a level 6. Well, that's awesome. And then you move your access down to a level 6. So this is now a healthy relationship because the level of access you're giving to them and the level of responsibility and trust that they're giving to you matches up. You know, I think about maybe the cashier. This is a really, really simple example. But the cashier that, you know, checks out your groceries or something at the store, you don't give them level 10 access to your bank account and your social security number and let them babysit your kids because that would be inappropriate. The relationship just needs to be an interactive one of paying for your groceries. So not everyone in your life needs level 10. Not everyone, going back to point number one, is supposed to be on the inside of your onion. There is nothing wrong with you continually evaluating friendships and relationships in your life to make sure the amount that they're putting in matches the amount of access you're giving to them. I have friendships in my own life where my availability is not what it used to be in their lives because of things that have happened and changed in my life. So I fully understand and would expect that because my level of availability and all of the things is not what it once was, that I don't expect the same level of access because the relationship has shifted and flowed. The same is true where I know there's people in my life that maybe they've come up in some areas, but they're still not where I need relationships to be to feel safe at a level 10. So maybe we're floating at a 7 or an 8. Relationships can always move up or down. They on that 10 to 0 scale, or they can always move in or out using that onion analogy. And actually, I think it's normal when they do. Relationships are dynamic. They're not static. They don't stay the same. They're constantly moving and changing because the lives of the people in those relationships are constantly moving and changing. So, concept number 3 about friendships that the Lord has taught me through the years is I used to question, but maybe I'm in their life for a reason. Maybe I'm supposed to help them. And I would call these guilty friendships. These are the ones that it kind of connects back with sort of the childhood way of viewing friendship of, oh, I'm supposed to be friends with everybody. And let me rephrase that. Not just the childhood, because yes, we teach our kids to befriend people, but the version that I had with no boundaries to balance it, to be the other side of that coin. So there were people in my life that were draining me, draining everything out of me, but I would be so frustrated. But then when that frustration would build, I would shame myself for feeling the frustration instead of now understanding that emotions are just information and that I need to pay attention to what they're telling me. The frustration I was feeling was trying to tell me that my boundaries were continually overstepped. But because I never would give myself space to feel the emotion and go before the Lord and say, Lord, what's this emotion trying to tell me? Can you help me out in what information is coming at me? Instead, I shamed myself would not let myself feel what I was feeling, shamed myself for feeling frustrated, and then immediately was like, you should be a better person and be more available to them. And they're still just learning. They're still trying. Or they had a really bad past. Or fill in the blank, whatever it is. And that maybe you're in their life for a reason because you're supposed to help them and you're supposed to minister to them. There was a particular friendship in my life that fit this profile. And we were in relationship for probably a decade. And finally, nothing ever changed. There was never any growth. There was just a constant need for more of me. And there was a complete lack of disrespect when I said I couldn't do something. I can't come over again today, or you can't come over again today, or I can't hang for 8 hours. I've only actually got like a 30-minute lunch break I can do today because I've got other things I've got to do to make my life go, to, you know, other responsibilities. And that's a telltale sign of knowing that you're in a toxic relationship is how they respond to your no. A healthy person, when they hear the word no, they might not love it. None of us like hearing it necessarily, but we'll respect it. We'll say, okay, it's fine. I understand. You know, understand. Maybe we can do it another time. We respect the other person's no. In a toxic relationship, the thing they despise the most is your no, because they operate on being able to control the people around them for their own sense of safety and stability. And your no is a threat to that. Your no means that you have your own mind. You're your own person. You're not just an extension of them for their purposes. And so, you know, if you're ever curious about, is this relationship toxic or not? Tell them no about something. Let it be something simple and easy. Let it be, you know, let's say you're together and trying to decide where to eat lunch. Mention a restaurant that you want and watch for them to find something wrong with your choice and to try to talk you into going somewhere else, you know? It's just one example. But how did they react to your no? So after a number of years, I was getting so frustrated, and I got some wise counsel from some leaders in my life, and I started learning about boundaries, and I started seeing this relationship differently. And finally, one day, I felt like the Lord said, Laura, if you were such a help to this person, don't you think they would have changed by now? I wasn't helping. I was enabling. And that friendship ended up dissolving because I put some boundaries in place and stood firm on my nose in some areas, and they did not respond well. So they made the decision to cut their friendship off for me. And I agreed that that was a great decision. So principle number four. Oh, this is going a little longer than I meant. Sorry, you guys. Principle number four, though, that I've learned about friendships, and I actually learned this from my own therapist, is that there's three different types of friendships in our lives. There's the people that pour more into us than we do into them. They're pulling more of the weight. They're bringing more value to the table. And this is great. You know, I think about mentors in my life. I think about coaches in my life. I think about, you know, leadership or people that that I look up to, and they definitely pour more into me than I'm even able to pour into them because they're further along the road. And I'm so grateful for the time that they do invest in me and that they pour back into me. But because of that, I also know that we're not besties and expect them to take me out to coffee every week, because that's not the dynamic of the relationship. And then there's the second group. And this is people who are balanced. You're bringing value. They're bringing value. It's iron sharpening iron, as the Bible would refer to it as. And it's you running your races together. And then you've got people that you pour more into them than they're able to pour into you. And that's great too. I think there should be people in your life like that. Not that are sucking you dry in a negative way, but maybe the Lord has put people in your life that you're supposed to pour into and mentor to. So I want to take the pressure off you there, especially those that find yourself in any type of leadership or ministry at all. There will be people who are really blessed by your ministry in a lot of ways, and they really would love to have a lot more access to you than you're able to give. I just want to encourage you to express that in a truthful and honest way, just that, you know, I'm so sorry, but I'm just not able to meet. I'm able, you know, to do this, but I'm not able to do that. And just to do it with no guilt. And whether they understand or not is not as much your responsibility. I mean, yes, you're responsible to say things with kindness and love, but I'm addressing the people who have fear of ever telling somebody no on something. And so if you have fear of ever putting up any kind of boundaries and limiting your access to certain people, you will find yourself so drained dry that you're never able to get to the things that the Lord has called you to do. You're never able to work on your own healing. You're never able to work on your own journey because you are so busy pouring out to people that always want a piece of you. So when my therapist was explaining this, I forget the percentages that he wrote on his little marker board, but how you should have people in all these categories, but make sure there's balanced and make sure you never tip the scale to where you are pouring out to more people than you have pouring into you. If that is the case, it's time to make some adjustments. And the fifth thing I want to share with you is my favorite one. And this is the one that the Lord has helped me learn just this year. And it's how to know who your people are. What he had me do was a little exercise because it's been a couple of years of some intense healing for me and working through a whole lot of things. And my capacity for a lot of extracurricular stuff is just not what it used to be. And that's the season I'm in right now. And it's not the season I'll stay in, I'm sure, but it's where I'm at right now. And also it's caused me to have limited energy for a lot of extra relational interactions outside of a certain limit. And so the Lord's been showing me what my limits are and what they aren't. And one of the things he had me evaluate one day of how to know when somebody's my people is to pay attention to my internal posture when I'm around these people. Do I feel on guard? Do I feel the need to impress? Do I feel the need to filter every word I say? If that's the case, then they're probably not my core people. They may have a place in my life, but I need to be mindful of where I place them. If there's people that I notice on the inside of myself, I don't feel like I can be me. I feel like I have to be a cartoon version of myself, either performing or guarding, because I don't know what words may be used against me later and twisted, or maybe I just won't be understood because they're just in a completely different season and the words I say are Greek to them. So it's not a place that I can be heard. That doesn't mean that there's not a level of friendship there that we can connect on other things. But what the Lord was having me do was use this filter for my core. And I want to offer it to you. Use this filter for your core. Who are the people that you feel safe around? I heard a quote the other day from Brené Brown, and she was stating that the opposite of belonging is fitting in. That those two things sound like they're the same, but they're absolutely not. Fitting in is when you have to adjust parts of yourself in order to be around a certain group of people. You have to change who you are. Belonging is when you get to show up fully who you are and you're loved and celebrated in that space. I hope this episode has been a blessing to you and that it's got the wheels of your mind kind of turning and kind of reevaluating as you're looking at the friendships in your life. And you know, you don't have to make a big announcement. You don't have to go to someone who maybe you used to give a whole lot of access to and now you realize that's just not healthy. You don't have to go up to them and say, well, I'm going to now limit my access to you. A lot of this has to do with just your own heart, adjusting your own expectations, adjusting the pressure you put on yourself. So much of this never has to be announced to the world. It's just the recalibrating that you do on the inside. And I would like to add this one last one that was not originally in my notes, but it came up on my heart to let you know that there have been specific times in my life where I have had to pray for friends, where I had none. Life had changed and shifted, and I found myself alone, and it was a very, very lonely, lonely season. And so I just wanted to encourage you, pray for the right friends. You serve a God that has promised to supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory, including the need for friendship. You may be in a weird, kind of lonely season. Instead of focusing on what you don't have, focus on what you do. Draw into the Lord. Maybe He's got you set, has you in like a season of pulling closer to Him and getting your worth and your identity from Him first, and maybe not so much in who all your relationships and friends are. Maybe all your friendships have kept you so busy that He's got you in a season of slowing down because He's wanting to make your roots grow deeper. Where they've been wide, now He's wanting to make them grow deep. But pray for the right friends to come at the right time, and don't take it personal. The devil would love to mash on old bruises in our hearts and tell us, you know, that there's something wrong with us, that we don't have friends, and all of these things to tear us down. And I would just encourage you, even if there's somebody maybe that you'd like to be closer to, or maybe y'all were close at a certain season and not now, maybe instead of taking it personal and making it about you, maybe just let it be about them, and you pray for them in whatever season they're in, and know that your worth and your value and your source for even friendship is not rooted in any one person, that it's rooted in the fact that your Heavenly Father loves you and He will supply. So I just wanted to encourage you in that, because that's a very real place, one that I've been in, and one that every time God answered and sent me friends that I would have never, it was only God. Like, I would have never come across these people on my own, or such deep, rich friendships. Some that I still have today, some that were just for that season. We were there for each other in a certain season and still cheer each other on from afar. But God answered nonetheless. Thank you for joining me today for the Laura Mayer Podcast. Join me here again next week, and we will continue learning that being His means being free.